CBS Mornings on the last day of March. A lot of news today. I'm Gail King.
I'm Nate Burleson.
And I'm Vladimir Dutier.
Ahead on today's CBS Mornings on the Go, more on the historic indictment of former President Trump. We'll discuss the legal and political implications with our experts Ricky Kleeman, Major Garrett, John Dickerson, and more. Also, we get the first look at the CMT Music Awards with co-hosts Kane Brown and Kelsey Ballerini. And we have a superstar in the building. I mean a super, super, super duper star. The NBA's Giannis Antetokounmpo will be with us to talk about a new project he's working on off the court. All of that and more after these messages.
Hey, hey, Prime members, talking to you. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the Go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
And unprecedented. I mean, the newspaper headline, I think, says it all. The first ex-president to face criminal charges. Let's just let this all sink in for just a second. This is very serious stuff. It's something that has never, ever happened in this country before. Never before has a former president faced a criminal indictment. Donald Trump is expected to turn himself in to authorities on Tuesday to face charges voted on by a New York grand jury. Americans, many of them, are waking up to this headline, like the ones that we are showing you on the screen there. The gravity of the moment splashed on front pages across every city in this country.
The case is linked to hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, an adult film star, just before the 2016 election. The president has denied all wrongdoing, using similar rhetoric to what he used in the run-up to the January 6th attack. Robert Costa joins us now from outside the New York County Courthouse. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Nate. Former President Donald Trump, the first president to ever be twice impeached, now the first former president to be indicted. One Trump advisor told CBS News Trump was taken aback by the news, but he now believes the Republican Party will rally around him as he once again seeks the White House.
They're trying to destroy Donald Trump because they fear him at the ballot box.
Republicans Thursday rushed to the former president's defense from his son, Eric.
My father's only crime was winning the 2016 election.
To Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who called the indictment un-American and said his state would not help extradite Trump.
I think this is an outrage.
To his former vice president, Mike Pence, who called the move a disservice to the country.
The idea that for the first time in American history, a former president would be indicted on a campaign finance issue. To me, it just smacks of political prosecution.
The indictment against Trump is sealed and will likely be disclosed at his arraignment, but it is tied to a so-called hush money payment made to former adult film star Stormy Daniels just weeks before the 2016 election to hide an alleged affair with Trump. Trump has denied the affair and any wrongdoing.
This is a long time coming.
Michael Cohen was Trump's lawyer at the time. He claims he made the payment at the former president's direction. Trump in 2018 acknowledged reimbursing Cohen, but the former president's fixer says they were disguised as legal fees.
I think we're going to see not just a small episode with one piece of inaccurate paper, but a broader scheme.
Harry Littman is a former U.S. attorney. He said the Manhattan DA has likely built a case beyond the so-called hush money payments.
It's really just the beginning of what promises to be a highly politicized process in which every legal maneuver plays out in the backdrop of a political campaign.
Recent polling shows Trump leading the pack among potential 2024 Republican presidential contenders. And on Thursday, he used the news to fundraise, writing in a campaign email, "Please make a contribution to defend our movement from the never-ending witch hunt."
But we know there's enough to this to suspect the worst of motivations
and the flimsiest of cases.
Jim Trusty represents Trump in two separate federal cases, one on the January 6th Capitol riot and another on the classified documents investigators found at Mar-a-Lago.
I think what the president really hopes for more than anything else is transparency, that every American looks at this process, spots the foul. He's got ridiculous strength. I mean, I've known the guy for a while now. He takes a lot in stride.
Sources tell CBS News the Manhattan DA has documents on hand of financial transactions of various schemes from Trump's inner circle in 2016 that have not yet been made public and could be central to this case. Trump is expected to fly here to New York on Monday before a Tuesday arraignment. And here outside Manhattan Criminal Court this morning, NYPD officers in full uniform by order, ready to be deployed. Vlad.
Uncharted territory. Bob, thank you very much. This case has major implications both legally and politically. So let's bring in the experts, CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman and our chief Washington correspondent, Major Garrett. Let's start with Ricky. This is not only the only legal case involving the former president, Ricky. He faces special counsel investigations into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, possible mishandling of documents that are marked classified. Georgia prosecutors are investigating interference in the 2020 election. So based on what we know about this case here in New York, what kind of charges could the former president be facing?
In New York, we have not seen the indictment. We will not see it until it is unsealed in court. But we can make some assumptions. And in New York, we certainly, by basis of Michael Cohen's statements after he has testified for the grand jury, as well as the statements of Trump's lawyers, we have a belief that this is a set of charges, many, many charges, for falsifying business records, which have to do with a legal arrangement that really wasn't a legal arrangement with Michael Cohen and the president, for the president to be able to pay back Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen had fronted the hush money to Stormy Daniels when they needed to keep her quiet about an alleged affair or a tryst before the 2016 election. Falsifying business records in New York is a misdemeanor. No matter how many you count, they're misdemeanors. So we believe that it may be tied to a campaign violation because it wasn't declared, and that way it becomes a felony. So you go from a one-year crime to a four-year crime. Now, I've got to add, we don't know what else is there.
Do you think there's something else there? People on the outside looking in are saying, it's about what? Campaign contribution? Stormy Daniels, an adult film star? People say, who cares?
Much ado about nothing.
But, well, many people will say much ado about nothing. We still say no one is above the law. But when you look at this case, Nate, they go, why?
Well, perhaps why first? Because okay. The counts that and the investigations that Vlad has mentioned really have to do with offenses against the United States of America. Mm. And those are the ones that people seem to be the most interested in.
Are you surprised by the timing of this, Ricky, now?
Oh, I was shocked by the timing.
Why were you shocked?
I have to give it to Alvin Bragg. I have to give him credit. He fooled all the people all the time. Everyone believed, the newspapers, online, TV outlet, that this grand jury was going on hiatus for 1 month, and then surprise,
we'd heard May.
And so for that, I give him credit. At the same time, he has to accept responsibility that he did this on a Thursday afternoon, which gives President Trump, former President Trump, the bully pulpit for a lot of days until that indictment is unsealed. We also have to remember there could be, from the Allen Weisselberg investigation, counts having to do with tax fraud, having to do with property inflation, deflation, and Karen McDougal, because there was a payoff to Karen McDougal.
Let's bring in our chief Washington correspondent, Major Garrett, who is standing by in Washington. Obviously, Major, there are political implications here. Sure. You've already started to see it on right-wing media. How do you see it?
So this will play out in stages for the former president. Right now, there is a possibly predictable, possibly understandable rallying around the president, that this is a prosecution, an indictment that is based at least in part according to those who support the former president, in politics. That if he weren't a candidate for re-election or renomination by the Republican Party for the American presidency, this case wouldn't be brought. It's only being brought because he, in his words and those of his supporters, is the leading Republican and possibly could be president again. Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, with whatever this indictment said, is going to have to deal with that context, deal with that narrative. And if this indictment is more expansive than Ricky just described, touches on more than the underlying payment to Stormy Daniels and whatever business records were not filed consistent or inconsistent with that, then the president will have a bigger legal problem and he won't have as formidable a political terrain to say this is all political. Maybe there are other substantive legal issues, things that violated New York law and that would raise questions about how he conducted his business and whether that makes it relevant to his future as a potential candidate for the Republican Party and for the presidency itself.
Major, what could this mean for the other 2024 Republican rivals?
Well, what it means for them right now is they have to be supportive of the former president, agree with his general narrative that this is political or possibly political. They have to err on that side, because if they don't, they will look disloyal to the former president and the Trump movement. And anyone who wants to replace Donald Trump as the Republican nominee wants to maintain good relations with that Trump base of support. So right now, they're sort of frozen in this moment. They have to wait for the indictment. I was sort of surprised to see so many Republicans cast their lot with the former president, not knowing what the charges are. They may come to regret that. We'll have to see.
There is so much to unpack here. Major Garrett, we thank you very much. Ricky Kleeman, we thank you, too. Former President Trump still faces other criminal investigations in addition to this hush money case we've been talking about all morning, including a special counsel's inquiry into the January 6th assault on the Capitol and his handling of documents that were marked classified that were found at his Florida home. The district attorney in Atlanta, as you've heard, is also weighing charges in Trump's effort to interfere in the 2020 vote count in Georgia. Let's focus now on what will happen here in New York City next week. Tuesday, they say, is the day. Attorney Joe Tacopina is defending the former president in the Manhattan DA's case. It's good to see you again, Mr. Tacopina. Let's start right away with this question. When did you and the president find out about this indictment? We were all led to believe that it was going to be delayed sometime.
Yeah, we were led to believe the same thing, Gail. I mean, it was yesterday at around 5:30 in the afternoon, much later in the day than normal, but that's when we learned.
Have you had a chance to look at the indictment? I know it's sealed. Have you had a chance to see it?
We've not. People are reporting how many counts are and whatnot. It's all, news to us. I mean, we've unfortunately gotten a lot of our information in this saga through media reports. We've not seen it. When it's unsealed, we will take a look at it.
Well, if you haven't seen it, how can you and your team say that it's a political witch hunt, that it's politically motivated, if we don't really know exactly what's in it yet?
No, I know what's in it. What I don't know is the number of counts and what the counts are premised on, but I do know the subject matter of the indictment. They've made that clear to us. It's about a civil confidentiality agreement executed by President Trump's ex-lawyer, a lawyer for Stormy Daniels, and nothing more. So we know it's premised and based on that fact pattern, which doesn't equate to a crime, not even close to a crime. If you want to look at campaign finance laws and discuss that, FEC chairmen have come on and said there is no crime here. The FEC looked at this and found no wrongdoing whatsoever. We know what the subject matter is. We know what the basis of the charges. We don't know the exact counts or how they're formulating the counts, but that doesn't really matter.
Well, based on your statement that you made just now, how worried is Donald Trump about this indictment?
Oh, he's not worried at all. I mean, he's upset, angry. He is being persecuted politically. That is clear to many people, not only on the right, but on the left. And we as Americans, honestly, should be concerned. Today it's Donald Trump. Tomorrow it's going to be a Democrat. The day after that, it could be your brother, your son, your daughter. And we have to be concerned about the rule of law falling, because what's happened here is this is a case that would not have been brought against another individual in this country if his name wasn't Donald Trump. Pursued by a prosecutor who has obviously very diverse political views from the president. So it's a very troubling case because there's no crime here. The United States Attorney's Office, who has jurisdiction over federal election campaigns, turned this down. The FEC, the Federal Election Committee, turned this down and said there was no wrongdoing. So how a state prosecutor is going to prosecute a federal election campaign violation, which they think is a violation, which clearly isn't if you understand the law,
I really have no idea. I hear you, but we just had Senator Warren here. Many Democrats are saying the same thing. Nobody is above the law. Let's let the process play out. Why don't we all just take that process? Why don't
go ahead. Yeah, I agree with you.
Just let the process play out.
Could not agree with you more. But no one's below the law either, right? And we shouldn't pick the person and then try to find the crime. And if you read that prosecutor's book, Mark Pomerantz, who left the office in a huff and wrote a book, what he said was they had Donald Trump, they despised and loathed him, and he was looking for a crime to fit the person. That's Nazi Germany era. That's communist China, Soviet Union. We do not do that in this country. We don't go after people we don't like and try to find a crime. And that's what happened here.
All right. Can you just tell us briefly the process on Tuesday? What will happen? Will Donald Trump show up in New York? Will he be walked in the front of right in the front doors of the court case in 20 seconds?
Yeah, we're trying to work out those logistics. It looks like possibly Tuesday, but I don't know yet. And as far as how that all happens, this is a case of first impression for all of us. You have Secret Service involved, yes. NYPD, Court Officers Union. So I'm not sure exactly how it plays out, but we'll get through it.
We will get through it, and we will be there. Thank you very much for your time this morning. CBS News legal analyst, that's Ricky Kleeman, joins us along with our chief political analyst, that's John Dickerson. Welcome to you both. Ricky, welcome back to you. John, let's start with you. You know, the Democrats say no one is above the law. Let's let the process play out. Republicans say that this is just a witch hunt, legal voodoo. What do you say? What was your reaction when you heard? Are they both right?
We don't know because we don't know what's in the indictment. That's my first reaction was, let's wait till we actually find out what's in the indictment. Of course, that's a naive thing to say in American politics right now. And that's my second thought, which is that this is an explosive event in a highly volatile time in American politics. When you have elections, you make laws or you enforce laws. There's a system that's in place to keep it from getting violent. But when you're in a volatile moment, it can get violent. Yeah. And so everybody has a responsibility who's in the political process to either add fuel or they've got a question, not a responsibility. Are you adding fuel or are you taking fuel away? And what you're saying in this moment when we don't know whether the indictment is a strong indictment or a weak one.
But I've heard so many even Democrats say privately that is this a case we should go after? Okay, he had a relationship with Stormy Daniels. He may have used money illegally. So what? So what? Who cares? Who cares? What do you say to that? That they said that there are so many things that are so much more important than this case.
It's up to the prosecutor, and we'll see what the prosecutor did. I mean, and we'll know. The problem in American politics is all this conversation that takes place in the absence of facts.
Exactly.
And the president and his party are doing something smart, which is in the absence of facts, they are rushing in to define what this case is about. We don't know. Donald Trump doesn't know. It's under seal. And the question is, after January 6th, where we saw what Donald Trump did when there was an official proceeding that he didn't like.
Yes.
When you're in his party, are you adding to this volatility or are you removing it? Kevin McCarthy, after the election, he said that Donald Trump won. That was a lie.
Yes.
Then on January 6th, Kevin McCarthy, now Speaker, was terribly frightened by what happened. He saw what happened when you spoke in apocalyptic terms, how that could play out. So why now is the Speaker saying that this is an effort by the Manhattan DA to subvert an election? That's speaking in apocalyptic terms about a thing you know nothing about. You know nothing about it because the indictment is sealed. Why, after the history of January 6th, would you as a public figure add more fuel to the fire? Isn't your obligation, when the system is as fragile as it is right now, to hold back the fuel?
Ricky, speaking of adding fuel to the fire, former President Trump continues this rhetoric and incites violence at the courthouse. Could he be held liable for that?
There's always the question when we go back to January 6th whether or not the Justice Department may decide to hold him liable for that. Mm. And that same logic could apply to a future act of violence by a group. By the way, at this point in time, there is no intelligence, at least according to the people I speak to, that shows that there will be any kind of violent activity at the courthouse between now and Tuesday.
That's good to hear.
But it's not only Manhattan that we're dealing with.
Right.
We're dealing with the entire country. We're also dealing with the safety of a particular prosecutor, courthouse personnel, Donald Trump himself, his safety, as well as the safety of the secret grand jurors who may or may not remain secret.
Right.
So you have a lot of security issues best place to try it is New York. The NYPD knows how to handle these things.
Ricky, so you heard Joe Tacopina talking to Gail earlier. This notion that the federal government, Merrick Garland, has had the same access to the information that Alvin Bragg has. Cy Vance, before Alvin Bragg, had access to this information. The feds have chosen not to indict. Why? People want to know, why did the feds choose not to indict? And thus, why is Alvin Bragg deciding?
What does Alvin Bragg know that others don't?
That they did
well,
not.
We don't know what Alvin Bragg knows, and if he knows more than others did or not. By the way, it has been well publicized that this case, the hush money Stormy Daniels business records falsification case in the DA's office by many people was called the zombie case. It was the case that Cy Vance did not want to prosecute for a lot of reasons, including the fact that it's novel, unique, don't know if it will hold up in a court of law. But also you have Merrick Garland, who perhaps had bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. He's dealing with the January 6th insurrection. That's a case that if they do decide to go forward through Jack Smith, the special counsel, that really is directly against the United States of America. And you also have Mar-a-Lago and the question of obstruction of justice. So in the order of things, yes, it seems that Merrick Garland would have been more interested in those two cases than in this case.
But, John, let's look at the history. I always like talking to you about history because you are a friggin' encyclopedia. We keep saying that this is uncharted territory, never happened before. Can he be indicted and still be elected president? What does this look like? What does this mean for the country?
Well, he can be. I mean, we've had candidates who've been under indictment who've run for president. They haven't won. But I believe in 2016, I believe Rick Perry, there was an indictment against him for a couple of months. It was waved away quickly. But yeah, he can go forward.
But
and
when
in
you
fact,
look at
there's.
This, what do you think, John?
I mean, well, I go back to what I started by saying, which is we are in this volatile moment. And leaders have a responsibility to the moment and to the system. If you participate in a system of making laws or participating in elections, you are a steward of that system. You can't befoul it and then say, oh, wait, but have it apply to me in a clean and pristine way when I'm participating in it. Right. You are a steward of it. So what is a steward's obligation in this case where we don't really know the facts yet? If the facts come out and it's a weak case, then everybody should say this is a weak case and you are hurting the same system that I've just been banging on about. If it's a strong case, then people should say, you know, this is a strong case within a system where we deal with people and no one is above the law. We just don't know which of those two things it is. So in the absence of that, if you're a steward of the system, treat the system with respect by withholding judgment until we know what the facts are.
If I could just piggyback on that for a second. That also applies to Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg is a steward of the system. He believes he has the facts and the law, and he went forward accordingly.
This has been a substantive discussion. Thank you both very much, Ricky Kleeman, John Dickerson. We appreciate you.
Donald Trump is vowing to fight these charges, and he's got the support of many, many prominent Republicans. For some political reaction to this, we're joined by Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren. Good morning to you, Senator.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you at the table again. As we've been saying all morning, uncharted territory, unprecedented motions. What was your reaction when you heard?
That no one is above the law, not even a former president of the United States. You know, this is a very sober time for our country, a real moment in history. And yet, I think the most important part of this is to say that a foundational piece of our democracy is holding. That it is possible to have an independent investigation, to go wherever the facts lead, and then to follow the process through. And that's going to mean to follow it all the way through, including assuming there is an arrest, if there's a trial, Donald Trump can plead not guilty. He can bring whatever evidence he wants.
But, Senator, we know this in school. We're always taught no one is above the law. Why are no Republicans saying this? We hear Lindsey Graham saying this is legal voodoo, political persecution, political hatred. That this is all about a political witch hunt. Why are there no Republicans, not one, saying that no one is above the law, that this is all about politics? It's hard not to see a political lens on this, is it not?
I can't answer for the Republicans. I can only answer for myself. And for myself, it's about backing off and letting the system work. Trust in the process. There is no reason to believe there's been anything other than an independent investigation. It's walked through all the steps. It is a grand jury, according to the evidence released, that has voted independently. And we will go forward with that process. And that process offers plenty of opportunity for Donald Trump or anyone else accused of a crime to bring forward whatever evidence they want, to use whatever part of the legal system they want. But we follow the law for everyone because it's foundational in our democracy.
And I remember sitting in class
foundational.
Hearing this. I remember
everybody
this.
Gets treated the
but
same.
But this is the thing that's so concerning. Donald Trump is calling for, in his words, death and destruction. He's calling for his allies to rally behind him. Mm. He's asking people to please speak up, please show out. Are you worried about violence in the streets?
It's dangerous rhetoric, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, I'm very concerned about
it,
that.
It is dangerous, and violence is never the answer. This is part of the reason we have a court system, so that we don't resolve these things.
But are you worried about it? Are you worried about it?
I always worry about violence. But again, I think that's why it's important for as many people as possible to take a deep breath, to be calm, to step back and say, this is one more step in the legal process. Donald Trump is going to have plenty of opportunities to make his case in open court, and the prosecution will have the same opportunity. Let the process go forward. No one is above the law.
So, Senator, let me get your thoughts on some of the other issues that are bubbling under the surface here. Many Americans are still worried about the banking system right now. What do you want to see happen so that we don't see another bank collapse? Not perhaps now, but in the future.
Exactly the right question. What's the go forward? But to get the go forward right, you got to take just a little look backwards. So remember, big bank crash in 2008 nearly brought down the worldwide economy. We put in place very strong banking laws to make sure that doesn't happen again. And it didn't. But those multi-billion dollar banks, they didn't like it. So they came to Washington, including the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm. Starting in 2016, they start lobbying, weaken the regulations on us. Donald Trump ran for president telling those multi-billion dollar banks that if he got elected, he would weaken the regulations. He got elected and he put in anti-regulators in those spots. He then went to Congress and said, weaken the laws that demand tougher regulations. And Congress, with the help from both parties, opened that door. Then Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, used that and mowed down literally dozens of regulations.
But, Senator, even when there are regulations in place, the San Francisco Fed did call attention to what was going on at Silicon Valley Bank, and nothing was
happened.
Done.
Yes.
So the question is, with the regulations that are in place, should there be some teeth? Should there be some accountability?
So you are exactly right. It takes regulators who keep their eye on the ball. And the problem we've got is starting with that change in legislation in 2018, regulators took their eye off the ball. Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, encouraged them to do that.
Randy Does he now Clark, have to do a bit of an about-face, do you think?
He needs to do a 180-degree about-face. Having been the guy who mowed down the regulations, he now needs to be the guy, because he's the one in this job, to start standing those regulations back up.
Do you
up.
Have confidence in the banking system? I hear a lot of people saying, I'm going to take my money, put it in a shoebox, and go home.
So, look, for most depositors, there's protection. They shouldn't have to worry about this. But overall, back to your question, we need to make sure that we have a banking system that we can rely on over the long arc.
Right.
And that the federal government is not called in effectively to backstop these banks. The only way we're going to make that happen is if we make banking boring again. I have a bill right now for clawbacks with Senator Josh Hawley, Senator Braun, Senator Cortez Masto,
bipartisan. Yeah,
bipartisan. And what it says is you're the CEO of a big bank. You give yourself a bunch of big bonuses and stock options and then blow your bank up because you took on the risks. You're going to have to give all that back.
Right.
The federal government can claw that back. The idea here is if you're thinking about making big money, don't go into banking.
Right.
Go somewhere else.
Right. Senator, we want to get your thoughts on a topic that we've covered quite a bit here on the show, and that's the banning of TikTok. Now, some progressive lawmakers have said that this wouldn't actually address the issue of data privacy. Have you seen evidence of TikTok being a threat to our national security?
So I look at this a little differently. I think the question of privacy of our data through social media, through just tracking us on our phones, is something that we should be very concerned about. Hmm. But it's not enough just to say this is a TikTok-only problem. This is a problem all the way across in terms of the data that are being collected.
Okay, so are we casting a wide enough net?
I want that we are not casting a wide enough net. I want to see a wider net on the privacy issues. I also think on the question of China, because it is different with China here, but China has other, they've got apps out there, they've got social media, they've got other pieces. So we
and American
need
tech companies can sell data.
So shoot.
Bingo.
So should TikTok not be banned?
So the way I see it is if we're going to look into the question of data privacy, and we should, I've got some very serious concerns about this, we need to cast a broad enough net. We cannot pretend that if we can focus in on one company, that we're all done and have fixed this
problem. Can you give a short answer to the question about guns? Once again, the horrible shooting in Nashville. I know it's not an easy answer, but will something change this time? Are your Republican colleagues saying something differently behind the scenes about let's make changes in gun laws?
I just can't tell you how frustrating this is. Our children die because there are Republicans in Congress who continue to insist that we can't put just basic safety measures in
place. So you don't see any behind-the-scenes conversation that makes you optimistic or hopeful that there will be changes?
You know, can I just do one? In Massachusetts, we have tougher gun laws. If the laws that we have in Massachusetts were the laws all across this country, independent studies show we would reduce deaths from gun violence by about 70%. These are the lives of our children, our neighbors, our friends, and we just can't get the
Republicans. That's why it's frustrating. People know what to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unfortunately, nothing ever changes.
We'll probably be having this conversation again.
Yep.
Senator Warren, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
More from this episode of CBS Mornings after this short break.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Giannis with the ball. Horford will defend. A two-point shot from 16 is pure.
That's NBA star Giannis Antetokounmpo. In last night's game for the Milwaukee Bucks, the two-time league MVP is making big plays on and off the court. He was drafted in 2013 at just 18 years old, and he has spent his entire NBA career in Milwaukee. Talk about loyalty. In 2021, he led the Bucks to their first title in 50 years. Now the basketball star is teaming up with Wall Street investor John Kadunas of Calamos Investments for a first-of-its-kind partnership. They created an investment fund aimed at making investing more accessible, and 10% of the profits will go to charitable causes like financial education. First, on CBS Mornings, Giannis Antetokounmpo and John Kadunas joins us right now. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
All right, so Giannis, you are a very, very successful basketball player. Why take this leap into finance?
I just want to create access for people, help people as much as I can to educate them and try to teach them about financial literacy. I think it's very important. It's something that, fortunately, you know, growing up, I didn't have nobody, you know, sit me down and teach me how to invest my money and guide me through my own journey. You know, I was 18 when I came to the States. You give it an 18-year-old a lot of millions of dollars, you don't really know what to do with it.
Yes.
And it's a real thing. And you see, like, 70% of professional athletes you played, they go
They go broke.
Yeah, they go broke. Yeah. I mean, I read at one point you had your money in 50 different banks. Is that true? 50 different banks?
It's not exactly true, but it was a lot of
it's
banks.
It's kind of true. You know, explain your process. What were you doing? Why did you do that?
You know, I was 18, came to the States, learned how to, you know, get my own driver's license, how to open a bank account. I did everything by myself because my parents did not come with me when I came to the state. So when I went to the bank, I was just curious. I told them, like, okay, if I put my money in the bank, in a checking account, is everything going to be safe?
Uh-huh.
They said, no, we only can guarantee you $250,000. I'm like, I have more than
$250,000. I'm putting more than $250,000. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and open 5, 6, 7 other bank accounts and put my money there because I was...
You wanted your money to be safe.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was always thought, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But obviously, there's safer ways and more smarter ways to do the same thing now. But
that was just you trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, but that was the only option for me at the time.
That's why, John, what you're doing is so important. You call it, it's an ESG investment fund, which means exactly what?
So ESG is a form of sustainable investing and environmental, social, and governance in what our portfolio managers invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge part of the market right now. It's in the news a lot.
Yes.
People, look, everybody has issues with trying to save the world, with making sure that child labor laws are in place, they're not abusing them, having diversity on boards and stuff. So there's a process of measuring companies, especially public companies, and how they follow all these rules. And when I met Giannis through a mutual friend, and I met Giannis and his agent, mm-hmm. we hit it off, and we had a lot of shared values.
Yeah.
In terms of family, community, financial literacy, environment.
But values is what matters to you, Giannis. That's one of the reasons why you're doing this. You have two sons of your own. And what you want to pass on to them and help others who may not, who you don't want to make the same mistakes that you did.
At the time, I don't think there were mistakes.
You know,
because that's all I had. That's the knowledge I had.
Mm. Yes. Good point.
But, you know, my father never taught me about investing. He didn't know. He didn't know.
Right.
You know, and now is the number one thing I'm going to teach my kids. I want my kids, before they even get the first dollar, to know how to make a dollar too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And why just do it to my kids? How can I, you help know, give people access to be able to invest?
What's the best lesson you've learned when it comes to money?
That money make money faster than people can.
Right. Money makes money faster than people can.
That is.
And you excellent. Can make money pretty fast.
You probably make money faster than most. But John, I mean, for people who are like Giannis, who are coming into the market, one of the things I love about this investment vehicle, it's not just going to be available to retail investors, it'll be available to institutional investors. So if somebody is like Giannis, maybe doesn't have the level of assets that he has, but wants to think about investing smartly, what should they be thinking about?
Well, one of the main reasons we wanted to do this, we wanted to have outreach to as many people as we can. So there's three different types of funds. There's the regular open-end mutual fund. There's what you call a UCITS, so we can sell it overseas. And there's an ETF that we're going to be ringing the bell this afternoon at the New York Stock Exchange.
Nice.
At closing bell at 4 o'clock, where anybody, even if they have $25, can invest in a share. So we wanted to be able to, the outreach, for anybody to start learning. It's part of the whole financial literacy. Anybody can buy, whether it be a huge institution, a sovereign wealth fund that will buy millions at a time, or a child wearing his jersey because he's a fan and wants to start learning about it, could put in and buy one share at approximately $25.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing you're doing. I have to talk a little bit about basketball. Wes Edens.
That's right.
Who's a big cheese over there at the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think is one of the best human beings on the planet. Says really wonderful things about you, how you behave on and off the court. And I think the big question many people want to know, do you plan to, you've been with the Milwaukee Bucks, do you plan to stay with them forever? And please speak into the microphone. Go ahead, Giannis.
I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I really appreciate people that gave me opportunity to change my life my parents' life, my kids' life. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take that lightly. And the first time I was, you know, able to leave and be a free agent to go join another team, I chose to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks because they helped me. They guided me through all this process. When I was 18 years old, I knew no better. So that I will always have that in my mind, in my heart. And as long as I'm healthy, and as long as they want me to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks organization, I would love to stay there.
Nice.
Oh, and you're loyal. Love that. Katie's
love
loyal,
that.
Too.
Oh, man. Giannis and John, thank you both very much. This is such an incredible project. Thank you for bringing it. Everybody.
Giannis, let me get that. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Giannis,
play a little
Giannis,
bit right back.
You should have seen Nate do a little strut over to you.
Yeah.
That was a heavy duty.
Okay, okay. Okay, Nate.
Careful then.
Thank you guys both for coming.
We are getting our first look at the only country music awards show where fans decide who wins.
Yay.
The CMT Music Awards returns to CBS this Sunday. Breakthrough talents like Jelly Roll and Tierra Kennedy are among 21 first-time nominees, while a handful of all-time greats are up for some of the night's biggest awards. That list of nominees include Kelsea Ballerini and Kay Brown, who are also co-hosting this year's awards.
Again.
What do you call that, KB squared?
Yes.
Yep, that's right. Jan Crawford went to Austin, Texas to talk with the pair about family, love, and what they've got up their sleeves for Sunday.
For country superstars Kay Brown and Kelsea Ballerini, co-hosting the CMT Music Awards is basically an annual tradition.
Usually in Nashville, everybody just goes home, and then now we're in another city, so everybody's forced to party together.
That's true.
After two decades, organizers decided to shake it up and move that party from Tennessee to Texas.
We're in Austin. You know, it's the first time ever. I mean, like, brings a different vibe.
And it almost feels like a new award show.
It does, and change is good.
Both artists were nominated for multiple awards. Ballerini for her song, Heart First. But I'm gonna jump right in, baby, with my heart first. And Brown for his first collaboration with his wife, Caitlin.
And I thank God I get to wake up by your side.
They're only the second married couple ever to top Billboard's country airplay chart.
Your kids will be able to see y'all with Thank God, like kind of speaking your love through that music.
It'd be crazy to, you know, to take it home. Because Kingsley sees me on like music videos and things like that, and then they'll send me videos of her saying like, oh, it's daddy. It's like a whole different dynamic when she's like, it's daddy and mom.
Ballerini's latest music is also deeply personal.
Baby,
on Valentine's Day, she released her EP, Rolling Up the Welcome Mat, alluding to her split last year from singer Morgan Evans.
How hard was that for you writing about, you know, the breakup, the divorce?
I think that was the easiest part of what I was going through. It's been truly like the most connective piece of work I've ever put out in a way that's been like I'm playing catch up emotionally to it.
What do you mean?
I just thought I would drop it and walk away and go back to the record that I put out in September. And that's just not what anyone's letting me do. And it's been really beautiful.
As they get ready for Sunday's main event, both artists are also thinking about the show's former home, now the site of the nation's latest school shooting.
Obviously, Nashville's really hurting right now. You've got two babies. I mean, when you see that, does that hit you different?
I just say, you know, all the prayers out to Nashville and the families. I couldn't imagine.
I'm so tired of people hurting over the same thing over and over. I really am hopeful that we can start to really make some positive, real change.
It's not the only area where Ballerini wants change. Ten years ago, she was part of CMT's inaugural Next Women of Country group. Now she wants to see more women supporting each other within the industry.
It's not just having women on the radio. It needs to trickle down into producer roles, songwriting roles.
Now that's how you get a party started, we right?
Do you guys ever get nervous at all?
I used to, like when I first made my first or two. But I'm weird about it.
What do you mean?
Well, like even when we're rehearsing, we always go through the scripts and I just kind of read it like I'm reading. But then whenever the show comes on, You know, you got to turn your energy up. And that's, I can't do it unless it's show day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, you can't fake it.
Yeah, I can't fake anything, yeah.
Yeah.
So no one has really seen, even in the rehearsals, what Kane is going to bring on Sunday.
Oh, they never do, no. Yeah.
We have to tune in.
Yeah, tune in.
Me too. Yeah. I have to tune in.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Jan Crawford in Austin, Texas.
You can watch the CMT Music Awards live this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on CBS or on Paramount Plus. I love them.
I love them. So I love their music. And that award show is really good. It's something special when it's the fans that vote for you.
Yeah,
that's right.
It takes on a different meaning to me. They're going to be great together.
They're going to do a great job.
Yes, they are.
And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes. We can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.